Antezaki Shange is best known for her 1976 landmark play for colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough. That play was a series of poetic monologues which dramatized the deepest feelings of young black women. Shange's new music theater piece is based on her novel Betsy Brown. It's about a 13-year-old middle-class girl growing up in St. Louis in 1959. Her parents put constant pressure on the children to excel and be soldiers for the advancement of the race. Each morning, the parents quiz the children about leading contemporary and historical black figures. Who is the president of Ghana? Who are Prez, Lady Day, and Bird? Shange told me this part of the story is autobiographical. Her parents are both professionals, determined to keep the struggles of black people in the forefront of their lives.
It was unforgivable. It was tantamount to a sin of omission to not know some achievement of anyone in the race. That is, in fact, one of the really terrible things that's occurred in the so-called American education system since the Civil Rights Movement, which is that the black history that was taught in the so-called Negro schools, which was very, very detailed and very, very nationalistic and full of racial chauvinism and also full of great lyric beauty and a sense of the drama and the victory of our survival and triumph over slavery, was totally written out of everyone's life. That no longer takes place in American history. So no one knows the words. Little children no longer know what the Negro National Anthem is, much less the words. They don't know who Kid Chocolate was. They don't know why Cassius Clay, who became Muhammad Ali, was important. They don't know why he could possibly have gone to jail. They don't know who Emmett Till was. They don't know who Governor Faubus was. I think it's very dangerous to be a black person in the United States and not know who Governor Faubus was, or Senator Eastland, or Huey Long.
And Betsy Brown, the children are exposed to two mother-type figures, their own mother, a middle-class woman who's really stressing education in their lives. And then when the mother leaves home for a while, they're exposed to a maid who is a domestic?
We never call it household help.
Household help. Okay, thank you. who is hired and who is just from a really different part of black culture, and it's something that's fairly new to the children. And they're kind of caught between both worlds in a way. They want both worlds in their life. But the mother doesn't want both worlds. Explain the distrust the mother has.
For Carrie,
the woman
Jane
who's hired to work
fought,
in the house. Jane is the mother.
Yes. Jane has fought all her life to make sure that her children never have to know a certain kind of desperation. Never have to know a certain kind of indignity. That when white people talk to them, you could talk back to them in the language they would understand, and if you couldn't put them in their place, you could at least let them know that you were not step and fetch it. When Jane sees Carrie, she sees not only what she might have stayed in, but she also sees what might take her children back, because that was the overwhelming mass of the black population at that point. It was still rural, it was still black, it was still black English speaking. It was not speaking the King's English. Jane's also terrified of what she calls swamp music and slave religion, both of which require abandon. There is no space for abandon in Jane's fanatic mission to improve the race. There is no time for it.
You grew up in a middle-class family yourself, and there were women who were hired in the house to work. Did you feel like the children in Betsy Brown exposed to different cultures in your house?
Oh, I thought that's one of the reasons why I know that there's no such thing as monolithic black culture, because women who came from Tennessee were different from the ones from Arkansas, the ones from southern Missouri were different from the ones from Louisiana, the ones who came down from Chicago were different from the ones in St. Louis, the ones who came from rural Kansas were different from the ones from Cairo, Illinois.
What kind of school did you go to when you were growing up?
Oh, that was. I went to a wonderful black school called Clark School, which is right across the street from my house. It was a totally black school. And when I tested for the Gifted Children's Program, there was one in a black school called Ashland School that I desperately wanted to go to because all my other friends were going to go there. My parents decided that I could go to the white one. And it left, I'm getting chills on my spine now. It was absolutely traumatic. It was one of the most devastating, lonely periods of my life. If it hadn't been for the fact that I lived in a black neighborhood, I'm sure I could not possibly have emotionally survived that. I looked so forward to 3:30, when I could go home. And by home, I meant where I did not look like something that didn't belong somewhere.
Why did your parents want you to go to the white school instead of the black school?
Because I had a right to. Because I lived in the district where I could do that. They were giving the Negro parents the option of not, you don't have to send your children to the white school if you don't want to. Well, that made my mother furious. She said, we live in this district, that's where she's going.
In 1976, in an interview in the Village Voice, and this was after For Colored Girls was staged, you said, as a black feminist, I usually feel cheated by black theater.
Mm-hmm.
Does that still describe your experience?
Mm-hmm.
Cheated in what way?
First of all, we are represented in a minuscule number compared to the number of men who are produced. First of all. Secondly, the versions of women in theater that men, or white or black, write are so one-dimensional, be it sexual or intellectual, that it's insulting. Thirdly, our perception of our own lives and our use of language has been denied me because I can't hear it. I'm not interested, actually, terribly much. Suppose August Wilson did write five fabulous, incredible, wonderful women characters. That'd be wonderful and interesting achievement for August Wilson. That's not going to help the development of black feminist theater.
You know, it's interesting. I know when For Colored Girls came out, some men thought that, oh, this is a really anti-male play. And several of the black men who I've interviewed recently have said the same thing to me, which is that they think right now only among black writers, only black women are considered marketable, that they're the ones who are getting all the attention from the publishers and the press.
There's
and I'm sure you've been
that.
Hearing this.
I've heard all this, and I really think that this... I think the reason is I've always been very consistent about this, and I'm not changing my point of view at all for the last 20 years. Since Richard Wright and Ralph Ellison, and James Baldwin, for that matter, even Malcolm X, to a certain extent, whom I revere, black men have essentially been what I call other-oriented. So their works are not what I would call so much protest works, but they are making what I call sort of conscious and obvious efforts to proclaim themselves to the white world. In Soldier's Play, there are all these speeches telling us about the terrible things that happened to the black people in the army. In The Mighty Gents, they are saying how bad they are compared to the white people. That's really not interesting. Nobody really cares about that. What we care about is their lives, who they love, who they hate, what they do with their time, what do they think, what do they dream. I think they have some very serious literary introspection to do, and I don't think it has anything to do with publishers at all.
So do you feel that in your plays and poems and novels, what you're trying to do is what you just mentioned, talk about how people live their lives, who they love, what they think about?
As Roy Jones said, culture is how people live. I'm supposed to be exploring and documenting my culture before it disappears. We don't have the pyramids. We don't have mummification. We don't have Pompeii to come and put lava all over Philadelphia on North Broad Street to freeze the black people so I can bring Savannah back here and show her how black people live.
Savannah's your daughter.
Yes. Therefore, this is the best I can do to document that we were here, we had feelings, we had passion, we had conflicts, we had intellectual duels, we had an incredible emotional and physical impoverishment that we survived. I have an obligation to document that.
Ntozake Shange's new play, Betsy Brown, premieres this week in Philadelphia. It's produced by the American Music Theater Festival.